Welcome to TKO, also known as
Trending with Keisha Nori.
If it's trending, we're talking about it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the TKO podcast. If it's trending, we're talking about it. I'm Ori. That's my partner, Keisha. What's good, Keisha? What's going on?
What's up, Ori? Yeah, so we got this fire episode today. We are going to be talking to 6'3 center for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish women's basketball team. She's in her senior year. Her name is Michaela Vaughn. She is Philly homegrown. I had the pleasure of coaching Michaela from 6th to 8th grade at Friends Central. And she's grown into an amazing young woman. So we had the pleasure of interviewing her. But before we get to that, let me just tell you, she was a three-time all-team for the mainline first team. In 2017, she was a McDonald's All-American nominee. She ended her high school career with almost 1,800 points. She had just over 1,000 rebounds. She won back-to-back league championships from her sophomore and junior year at Friends. She ranked in the top 100 for the Hoop Girls ESPN Women's Top 100. And at Notre Dame in her freshman year, bro, they won a NCAA championship, right? Unfortunately, she was injured in her freshman year, but she'll talk about that in the interview. But moving forward, before her season was ended because of COVID, Michaela had a 21-point game versus Syracuse. She had 11 rebounds against Pitt. She had two double-doubles, and she was shooting just over 58%. Her shooting average was just over 58%, which made her the second best in the ACC. That's no small feat. This interview was no small get. Michaela was the truth. There's big things in her future. So check out this interview with Michaela Vaughn.
What? Oh.
Hi.
What's going on, Michaela Vaughn? University of Notre Dame? What's going on?
I'm good. How are you, Keisha? It's good to see you.
I haven't seen Michaela in person since she left for Notre Dame in what, 2017, 2018?
Did you see me then?
Yeah. Actually, no, because you dipped out early. Your junior year, you went to that school that shall not be named.
Okay, that's true. Period. You hit it back.
That's what it is. That's what happened. But no, I coached, me and Michaela go back to what, 2012, 2013. Michaela, we referred to her as Big Mick back then. In the sixth grade, she was probably about my height, about 5'7". She was the first player in Friends Central A-team, maybe not history, but since my tenure, first sixth grader to make the A-team, which is the varsity team for middle school. And she was tall.
So nervous.
She was tall.
I was so scared. I remember that.
I don't know why she was scared. She was tall. And
I was so scared. She was tall. That's it. I wasn't good. I was just
tall. She was tall. And I don't think she had found her love for basketball yet, but she was tall and I needed her. And
you're not giving me
she got us a lot of wins.
Credit. Zero credit.
No, because back then I don't think you knew your abilities. I think you were practically a baby. And you just didn't know. Yeah. And because you were the tallest girl probably in the school at that point, or at least in your grade, probably in the school at that point, you did not embrace your height. And that was probably the first thing I wanted to beat out of you was embrace your height is going to take you places. It's going to take you. To
I think I'm doing it now. I wish you would have said something, but it was also the environment.
What was it like to play with my co-host, man? You should see the debates that we have on sports. So what is it like to play for Coach Keish?
Tough as heck. Okay, first of all, let me say something here. He's proud. Proud Coach Keisha.
I remember
this one time. This is like the story I tell everybody when people ask me about, like, I always say this is like my favorite coach, like the best coach I've ever had.
And a huge compliment.
No, I'm serious. And just, I mean that all around, not just in terms of basketball. That I think you and Coach Kwame Bird tied, like, for. Anyway, I'm just saying. Anyway, I remember we lost this game. We all used to run before practice, jog and sprint. And we used to just run, period. Like, that was practice, was running before we even touched the basketball, like, weeks in. And then we lost this game, and you were like, oh, no, when we lose, we run. And so I think we were all, like, super pumped to win the next game because we thought that we weren't going to run. And we were in the big gym, too, and we got ready to go stretch. And you said, oh, no, when we win, we run. And I think all of us were like, we're about to quit. Like, we don't know what else to do.
There was a method to my madness, because I always felt like if we weren't going to be the best team on the court, or if we weren't going to win the games, we were always going to be the fastest and the hardest working team on the court.
Well, Michaela, I was checking out your bio, and so something very interesting here I saw on here. You're fluent in French?
I am fluent in French, oui.
How do you say Ori is always right and Keisha is always wrong in French? Go for it.
It's not possible.
No, she's going to do it. Watch.
Oh, yeah, it does not compute. Okay, so I think it's Ori est toujours présent et Keisha avant tout.
And then how do you say lies?
Mensonge, c'est mensonge.
There you go. That's what that is. Lies. Lies.
But no, seriously, no. You know, I was looking at your bio, and I mean, you got prep awards. You were McDonald's All-American nominee. Obviously, you know, you go to the great, wonderful institution of higher learning like Notre Dame. You're part of the 2018 national championship team. And, you know, just going through there, being a real, you know, student athlete from Philly, going there, playing ball, and all the things that you're going through. I saw your injuries as well. Just take me back. Take me back even from the Keisha days to where you are now. Just tell the world how you got here, where you came from, and anything in between that makes sense.
Okay. I don't think it's really that long, but so I started playing basketball. I think I was about 10 years old, just in the league and like the county that I lived in. And so I started there. Then fast forward to Keisha days, that was the peak. I've just been going down since Keisha days. I was in my peak in middle school. I always say that. she's like, yeah. So then I think it might have been eighth grade when I started to realize that I should probably play AAU if I want to play with more competitive opponents. So I started doing that. I started playing seriously at ninth grade at AAU, and that's when I started realizing that, like, I think like colleges start sending out letters by that point. So I started getting a lot of those. And then obviously when you like really get to know the process and you go through and everything, you realize like everyone gets letters and what kind of letters you're getting and people are like different than offers and all that kind of stuff. So you kind of figure out how to navigate that kind of thing. But I think when I started realizing that I would be able to go to a school and play basketball, I was like, okay, maybe I want to do that. So the process itself was really stressful, and it was a blessing to have it be as stressful, because I mean it could be the opposite direction stressful, where you don't have enough options and you're trying to figure out another place to go. And I recognize that. So it was everything I complained about, but I did realize it was a big decision that it was often in my mind. So I know I committed to Notre Dame after my final AAU summer. It was like after that tournament, I had figured out that I was like, okay, I'd already had official visits to some other schools. And then I realized that I was going to go there. So I called other coaches and then I committed. That was 2016 when I committed. And then graduation, I get there as a freshman. I didn't think it was too bad. I transferred from Friends Central. I left Keisha and everyone in Philly, and I left and I went to Paul the Sixth in Fairfax, Virginia. I played there for a year. Great competition. Great. It was like my first introduction to like real weightlifting, like team weightlifting. So that was good to have that prior to going to college. I feel like that was a leg up just in terms of like being comfortable. And even if I was doing the same things over again, just having some kind of knowledge for myself. So that was good. We had a pretty great season there. And then freshman year, I'm having a good summer. I'm having a good first couple games. I tear my ACL, my left one. Mm. So that was our national championship year. So it was really nice that I was able to help contribute in other ways, being vocal. I think I was always pretty vocal just throughout my basketball years. She's like, yeah, she would never shut up.
Yeah, she was pretty vocal. She always had an opinion.
And I still do. Mm-hmm. So I think that was something that I was able to do. I was able to contribute. And then I came back in like 9 months. Didn't play as much my sophomore year. People graduated, people left. So then junior year, another like great summer, having like feeling good, feeling strong. And then I come back in November on our first game. We're playing Fordham. And third quarter, I fall down, and it turns out I tear my ACL again, my right side this time. So I was like, well, last year was hard for a bunch of reasons, but so I was like, well, I'm going to try to play. There were a lot of things like surrounding this injury that made it so I could try to continue playing on it. So what I did was I rehabbed for 6 weeks, and then I came back and finished the season. And then I just had surgery in March, so I'm now about 5 months out of surgery. And I feel really good still. Like, I think this one healed much quicker, or is healing much quicker than the other one, just because the surgery wasn't as severe. I was able to continue playing on it. I was able to strengthen in the meantime. So I think that also gave me a leg up in the healing process. So still working on that, but I think I'll be ready. I mean, we don't even know if we're going to have a season, so.
So you've talked about the physical. What has the mental been like to now be one of only two actual seniors on the team? I'm sure there's going to be a lot of leadership expected out of you, but there's also going to be some sort of, because I noticed you're one of three players 6 feet tall, but you're very guard-heavy team going into this season. So what kind of mental pressure do you feel under to, one, be a leader, two, to be coming off an injury, knowing that you're also going to have to be that leader, not just mentally, but physically? Do you have any concerns about, you know, holding back, or are you just, and like you said, you don't know if you're going to have a season, or are you just ready to go full throttle, just leave it all out on the court, because this could possibly be your, you know, this is your senior year? What's the mental like for you?
Honestly, I feel like it's really easy for me now mentally, because I kind of feel like I've been going through this preparation after my sophomore year, because we had already graduated a lot of, we graduated 5 seniors, all went to WNBA. So I had already known that it was going to have to be junior year. It was going to have to be more of like a senior year role. So I feel like I was more prepped for that a year early. And now this is just like another situation. So I think that was a factor. And then in terms of leaving it all on the court, I realized that after like rehabbing and being so strong and then getting injured again, that not that there's nothing you can do to prevent injury, but you can only do so much. And then a lot of things are freak accidents. Like both of mine are pretty much freak accidents. So it seems kind of stupid to not leave it all out on the court. Like, why would you? Because you can get hurt not going all the way. So you might as well do whatever you can. And that's been my mindset since the first ACL. And then obviously with the second. And then, again, I do have an extra year because of my first because of the first injury. So I did redshirt that year. So I do have the fifth year if I want to take it, which is a nice cushion. I know a lot of seniors don't have that. So that's something else that I think about. And so I think when it comes to the physical pressure, I just, especially now that I feel so good with this knee, the pressure doesn't, especially, I don't know, I kind of feel more comfortable after having played on it while I was injured and being able to get through that season and kind of do my best with what I had and still do pretty good. And then be able to like come back stronger. I feel like that gives me even more confidence coming into my senior season.
Michaela, you know, the adversity stuff that you've gone through, but you're still persevering. And now with the COVID, what is it like? Do you feel like, dang, here I am getting back and now COVID hits and I don't know what's going to happen? Are you a little discouraged? Are you more motivated? You know, what are your feelings with what you personally going through? And also with COVID and what's going on in the world with your teammates, coaches, and everybody else, you know, can you talk about that?
Yeah. Okay. I think that, I don't know, COVID, this is so, I feel like it's really weird because I don't know what people's like stance on it is. And I feel like that's so weird because it's almost like everyone should be taking it pretty seriously. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as we've seen, not everyone is taking it very seriously. So I am always kind of curious, like, well, if I say it, you're going to get offended that I want you to wear a mask or that I don't want you to eat out at a restaurant, or, you know, just that we should still be staying home. We should be doing the things that we should have been doing a while ago, and still be doing them. But yet, you know, things are clearly getting worse. And I think that's probably what the hardest thing for me is about moving forward and thinking about having a season and just thinking about having a school year, is that things seem to be getting worse, yet we're still kind of pushing things to move forward. And we're doing the things that we need to be doing on a small scale. For instance, the NBA and the WNBA, they have these bubbles and they're not going in or out. They're staying where they need to be. And they're being sanitized before practice and they're getting sanitized afterwards. And the NFL is doing the same thing. And it's like, we need to be doing this on a larger scale. This shouldn't just be for professional athletes, especially if they want collegiate athletes who, in a year or two, will become professional athletes. To if they want that, if they're, this is semi-professional sports. So I feel like you're going to be taking them as seriously as future professional athletes. Then we would take that precaution. And then, especially for the entire country, it should not just be for athletes. I mean, we can go down the line. It should be for everyone, and we all have a right to not get sick, especially mm-hmm. when this has killed so many people. So I think I feel uneasy about it just because I don't know where everyone stands on it, honestly. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of hard for me to think so far ahead when I don't know if we're going to even be able to go in a month or so, because we're not in a bubble like the WNBA and the NBA. We have people come in and out and they're doing whatever they want. And, you know, I mean, people are going to do the best they can. That's what everyone's doing. And that's what I appreciate. But it's almost like we have to do so many things and maybe it's not something to be doing right now.
Considering the injuries you have had and then having the season pretty much halted because of COVID-19 and now not knowing if you're going to get another season, do you feel your collegiate career would be incomplete if you didn't get to play this season?
I think if I didn't get to play a final season, I don't think it necessarily has to be this season that I have to play, mm-hmm. but I think if I don't get to finish it out, that'll be kind of weird. But it's also, I don't see like, so, I mean, if we don't have this season, or if we get pushed back, it'll just be an abbreviated one. But I think as long as I get to end it, like not really on my terms because I never know what's going to happen, but just finish out a full season healthy. That would be the icing on my collegiate career cake.
Yeah, man, that was part one right there. Keisha, you got a little guest with you?
Yeah, man, it's our special guest, Lucas. But yeah, man, that interview was crazy. And we're really hoping that Michaela gets to put that period on her college career because she really deserves it. She's been through a lot, and we want to see that happen for her. But there's definitely a lot more coming up in the second part, right, Ori?
Absolutely, absolutely. Part two's coming at you. And we might even have a little blooper episode for you. So you got to stay with us. You got to stay.
Moments like this. You see him just pick his nose.
That's a blooper right there.
What's she going to catch in the blooper?
All right, everybody. We'll see you back for part two. Peace.